Are you dealing with a high conflict bio mom? HCBM is what they're referred to in the chat rooms, which, by the way, I hate the term high conflict BM. I will talk more about that later. But here's the deal. When I ask stepmoms who come into my world what the hardest part is and why they decided to work with me or connect with me, they usually say something about the ex. So she's high conflict, or she's controlling. She manipulates my husband. She influences the kids. So the list goes on, but it usually has to do with the ex. And dealing with an ex, especially a high conflict one, can be very costly. It can cost money on lawyer's bills. It can cost you time dealing with the bullshit. It can cost you your mental health. And it can cost precious moments that really should be spent on people and things who light you up. Life is short. The question I have for you is, are you done with the bullshit? Are you done with the BS? We used to have a very high conflict co-parenting relationship. There was an incident where there was some yelling at the front door over some hockey pants. There were altercations over the phone, long-winded text messages, email correspondence, like countless dollars spent on lawyers' bills and court dates and vacation requests. It's just a few examples. I remember when Darren and I first got together, I walked in on him and the ex arguing in the driveway about extra expenses. It was so uncomfortable. It was so unnecessary. And it was so costly. And if I could go back, there are so many things that I would do differently. But now we have really been able to transform our higher conflict co-parenting relationship, and I want to help you get here too. So on March 26th, I am hosting a live coaching experience. It is a masterclass for stepmoms who want to minimize conflict with the high conflict ex. You can find all the details at www.jamiescrimshaw.com/high-conflict-masterclass. But for 1 hour, I'm going to share tips and strategies and mindset shifts that you can implement right away to minimize conflict with the ex and improve the vibe of your home. You get a recording, a workbook, tips, strategies that are going to save you time, money, and anxiety. This masterclass will change the way that you look at the ex and your co-parenting relationship. It's happening March 26th. It is a masterclass for stepmoms who want to minimize conflict with the high conflict ex. Head to www.jamiescrimshaw.com/high-conflict-masterclass to secure your spot. Hey, it's Jamie Scrimger. When I became a stepmom, I quickly realized that while moms are encouraged to keep it real, there's a big double standard when it comes to stepmoms. So I decided to start the conversation myself. Thriving as a stepmom doesn't just come from conversations about being a stepmom, though. Here, we dive into marriage, relationships, personal growth, and more. My mission? Inspire you to live a kick-ass life while bringing you along as I create my own. This is the Kick-Ass Stepmom Podcast. Hello, hello. Welcome to the Kick-Ass Stepmom Podcast. Oh, guys, I have a good one for you today. You know, there are certain guests that I could literally talk to all day, every day. I wish that we lived near each other. We could get together for wine and just talk about life and stepmom life and all the things. And today's guest is one of those people. So we connected years ago when I first started this platform. She is a celebrity personal trainer. She is also a stepmom. You can check out her YouTube channel. She's been on the podcast before. And recently she's gone through a major life transformation, like a total switch in what she's doing. She is now a writer and a director, and she made a movie about being a stepmom. In this episode, we talk about the movie, what inspired her to create it. But it's more than that. It is two stepmoms talking about life and just going for it and how hard things can be and what happens when you push and believe in yourself, even when things feel really hard. I know you're going to love this one. Kit Rich, welcome to the Kick-Ass Stepmom Podcast. Let's dive in. Okay, Kit, there are so many changes in your life since we last talked and you were last on the podcast. Can you give us an update? Like, what? Career switch? Like, how are things going in your step family life? Like, give me the details.
Well, it's a really crazy time. I actually went back recently and re-listened to that podcast. And you know how sometimes you don't even recognize your voice? Mm-hmm. It's so interesting to hear that Kit talk, because she was way more confident, I think, than I am now.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
She was more sure. I think in the past few years, I've just been dealt with a lot of blows and have a lot more humility. Not to say that I wasn't humble before. I think that's always been a through line in my life, but I'm much quieter now, a little softer, and I just work a little differently. In the past few years, I want to say 2.5 years, we were just trying to figure this out before we pressed record on when we had that podcast. So I want to say it was 3 or 4 years ago. So just to give the audience a little background, if they don't know who I am, and I wouldn't ever assume that they should know who I am, for about 17 years, I want to say, I always mess up that number, but I was what people would call a celebrity fitness trainer, an entrepreneur. So I basically did everything you can imagine under the fitness umbrella. I traveled the world with clients, training them for movie roles. And for years, I was traveling the world, training clients on music tours. And it was this extremely exciting life. I developed a YouTube platform and I got hired by companies to represent their brands. And it was just, it was a really exciting career that actually, I think if you and I had a lot of time, we could do a deep dive into that. While it was so exciting and I loved it, it actually caused me a lot of pain. But one of the things I always did on the side, and a big reason I actually got into the fitness industry in the first place, is that I was always a writer. And I knew that fitness would give me sort of that freedom to write. But as I, you know, got more into the fitness industry, writing kind of fell by the wayside because, quite honestly, I got so much rejection from writing. And I was in my 20s at the time, I'm now 40, that I stopped believing in myself with it. And fitness was the thing that was giving me all the opportunity. And so I just kind of went, well, that's where the opportunity is and I need to go for it. And also it was about survival. I needed to make a living, you know, and I, at that time I was learning how to take care of myself. And I'm so humbled by the fact that this career that I had never anticipated doing, that I kind of did because I needed to just make a living, grew so much. And it provided me this incredible life where I helped people and I traveled and it put me in contact with some of the most incredible people I've ever met. And for that, I am forever grateful. And I grew up in that industry. I learned about myself. I got so much rejection and so much opportunity. And I learned how to negotiate a contract and I learned how to fight for myself and negotiate. And that's a huge skill. But as I got older and I started sort of ticking off those boxes of, you know, I've done that. And I was still feeling this feeling of, I kind of walked away from myself along the way. I kind of let go of my greatest dream. I started writing again. You know, over the years I dabbled, I wrote a play. I was published in magazines for my essays. I think I always had something else to say and that something that went beyond the body. And I think if I'm really being honest with myself too, I think I was hiding behind it. I could talk about you forever. I could talk about how to help you forever. And I felt really comfortable in that space. But when I really thought about my own life, I wasn't being true to myself because I was telling you as a client, as a you as the, you know, the universal you, I was telling you to live your best life, to go after your greatest dreams, to use fitness as a tool for that. But if I'm really being introspective, I actually was hiding behind it. I wasn't doing the scary thing, the scariest thing. And that for me was just facing my greatest fear of, if I do this and I get rejected, what does that mean? If I really go after this and I never make it, what does that say about me? It's like, you know, am I really just a failure? So I got old enough and I've done enough work on myself where I realized that I was willing to take that risk because I was no longer defining myself by my career or the things I was doing. It was about just believing in yourself and your intuition. And actually, which I'm sure we'll talk about, is all the things that being a stepmom taught me. Being a stepmom actually, and how it's shaped my life, allowed me to go after my greatest dream, which is so unique and such a weird way of connecting those dots, but it's true. And so where I am at now is I wrote a script during COVID after tons of rejection on the script, I did have some yeses, but then after tons of rejection, my husband and I decided to do it ourselves. And then we went through the process of trying to get a director, and every director I reached out to said no. And so then my husband turned to me and said, then you should direct it yourself. And I had never been behind a camera, and I'd never even filmed a short. To make a feature film is the hardest thing I've ever done as far as my career is concerned. And we did it. And now I'm really proud to say that it's been an incredible journey. We just got accepted into our very first film festival. We're in negotiations for distribution. It has been an unbelievable ride. And the movie's called Isabel's Garden. It stars Karen David, Gabriela Flores, Valerie Ortiz, Jane Taney, Manuel Lozano, my husband, Veronica Dash, Ptolemy Slocum, all these big TV actors. It's just, it's a really exciting thing. So, oh, and yeah, I'm still married.
Well, that's always a really big thing when you're a stepmom. And, we got it. Yeah,
still married. And my stepdaughter is now, she's Irish. She's 11 years old. She's...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I think I mentioned in the last podcast, I met her when she was 2 years old. So it's been about 9 years now.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. So tell me about the movie. So let's talk about the script a little bit. Like, you're making a movie about being, well, you made a movie about being a stepmom.
I made a movie about a stepmom. And I think that's a really important distinction, because it's about her and not just being a stepmom, but her life outside of it.
That's true. That's true. Nice correction there.
Yeah, right. Versus just that she's a stepmom. Like I said, it's called Isabel's Garden. It is a hopeful family drama, but it's about a new stepmom who feels very insecure in her place and her family. And she unexpectedly, as always, she ends up losing her husband in an accident. And she's then tasked with having to help raise and co-parent her 15-year-old stepdaughter alongside his ex-wife. And it is a beautiful story, I can honestly say. Now that I've seen the movie, I can say it's a beautiful story. But this idea came from, obviously, a very honest place within me. It came from a huge fear. Obviously, this story is not mine, obviously, and thankfully, but it is about this fear that I had at the beginning of being a stepmom, that you are immersing yourself in this family and you are choosing to be in it and you're trying to sort of find your way and you're making these choices. And what if the middleman, the person that connects you to this family, because you're not there by blood, you're there by choice. And what if that person gets removed? Then what are you left with? Mm-hmm. And it's a huge fear that I have as a stepmom. And so I just decided to dive into that. And I'm still kind of trying to figure out why I chose the beginning of stepmotherhood versus a stepmom who had been immersed for years. And I think it's because I'm noticing that when I speak to people about being a stepmom and my legitimacy in the family, they always want to know how long I've been in it. So when you're a mother, you're immediately legitimate because that you've given birth. But as a stepmom, I find that your legitimacy only comes over time, you know? And I kind of wanted to take that equation out. I wanted to remove that. And I wanted to sort of define legitimacy right away. Mm-hmm. Because choice is the most powerful thing as a stepmom. And the second you choose that family, it is yours.
I love that.
And so that's, I think, a theme that I wanted to dive into.
Yeah. And, you know, when I was watching the trailer, I did see aspects of you and your fears and insecurities and conversations that we've had coming up in that care. I was like, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So when you decided to do this career switch, what made you decide to write about being a stepmom? Like, what about that was like, okay, we need a movie about being a stepmom. Like, what was the thought process there?
Well, one, as a writer, writers typically write from a place that they know. So there's that. But also, I think it's a really underserved and large community.
You think?
Right? And also a community that doesn't get a voice. If you're listening to this podcast, you are probably a stepmom. And so it goes without saying that we don't see a lot of ourselves on screen and in a positive way, you know? And that's not to say that my character that I wrote, Karen David, who stars, who plays Maya in the movie, that's not to say that she is the most exemplary character of all time. But what she is she's a whole person. She's layered. She's complicated. But what I really tried to achieve was that I wanted the audience to understand her and her point of view. And I really feel that we achieved that. And I feel like stepmoms, their point of view is never really understood. That the people will go, oh, you have it so easy. Or, oh, well, whatever. It's not really your kid, so you can just do whatever. You know, it's just misunderstood. And I wanted just to provide a little bit of a window into our soul, into sometimes the inner complications of how we feel, and that sometimes we are trying really hard and it just doesn't look so good on the outside, you know?
Yeah.
But our intentions are there.
I know.
So yeah. So I'm trying not to give too much away of the movie, you know, so I know I sound a little vague, but I think also too, I wanted to provide a sense of hope. I wanted to show families the stepmom experience. And also too, in my movie, there is the mom experience as well and the stepdaughter experience and all that. And to show how ultimately things can come together and work out.
Mm-hmm. What do you think needs to happen for things to come together and work out? What does that look like?
That's such a loaded question.
Right.
And this is separate from the movie. In my case, I think if you've listened to my previous podcast, and it still holds true, I have a really great relationship with my stepdaughter's mom. She's actually one of my closest friends and she's now my family. And I know that's not the reality for most people. In my case, both of us have worked really hard at adulting and putting the kid first. And that's not always easy, but we just all work really hard. My husband works really hard. We all work really hard at putting Iris first. And in our case, it's a lot of communication and a lot of everyone putting their ego to the side. But, you know, I know that's easier said than done. And I also have to give my husband and Iris's mom so much credit. They did that before I even showed up, You know, so they were working on that. And so I was coming into that. So that was very helpful.
Yeah.
But that's not to say that I didn't have my own feelings and my own issues and my own, you know, complications around it. It was never the thing that I intended for my life. It wasn't a conscious decision. Yes, I'm going to meet a man with a kid and an ex-wife because that sounds easy, right? Mm-hmm. That wasn't a conscious decision on my part, but it was the right decision for my life. And I think for me, it's been the right decision and I choose it every day. The thing about changing this career and sort of go back to what I said initially is how humbled I am is, you know, changing careers. And I didn't change my career in my 20s. I'm 40. You know, I've been established in another industry where people have labeled me as such. And so it is really hard for me to show up to people and say, hey, listen, this is what I'm doing and this is who I am. And a lot of people don't take me seriously. And it's been an incredible amount of rejection. And not to say, like I said before, that I needed more humbling, because I think I actually operate from a very humble place, but it is that constant sort of redirection and doubling down on this is what I want. And this is who I am now. And I'm going to keep showing up every day, no matter how much rejection I'm getting. And that's actually the path of being a stepmom. You know, it's about trusting your gut. Trusting the choices you've made, Even if some days aren't so pretty and some days are magical, you know, but it's that everyday choice and knowing who you are and carving your path. And honestly, doing this has actually made me a better stepmom because I'm truly making choices. I've always said this. I have a girl, one of my best girlfriends in the world. She just moved in with her boyfriend who has two kids. And she's going through the process now that I went through 9 years ago. And it is so beautiful to see because she's talking to me about things that she's experiencing. And I'm going, that it was exactly my experience. I know exactly how you're feeling. And all I can tell you is you have to trust yourself. And also you have to choose you all the time. You have to make sure that you are doing the things in your life that make you feel fulfilled. Not just for your family, but separate from that. Mm-hmm. Because the more you own you and the more you show up for you, you're better in your family. You're just better. You're better for everybody, everybody involved. You know, I also in a really, really deep way, want to be able, Iris, my stepdaughter, means the absolute world to me. And it's every year I feel like my relationship with her gets deeper and deeper. Obviously complicated because she's getting older. Now she's a preteen. She's such a different human than when I met her at 2 years old, you know? She's more complicated, wildly complicated, but she's amazing. But I really want to be able to look her in the eye and say, if you want to go after the things in your life and you want to be happy, you're going to have to take risks and you're going to have to face rejection, but you're going to have to show up every day. But I want to say it wholeheartedly, mm-hmm. knowing that I did it myself. And that really, truly where I've landed with this is that the accomplishment has really been the decision to do it, of make the movie, of to show up every day, even though I had no idea what I was doing. I mean, no idea. I didn't know how to make a shot list. I didn't know what lenses were. I was researching on YouTube.
Well, the movie, like the trailer is great. Like it looks like you knew exactly what you were doing.
Thank you. No, it's been getting, I got a lot of love. And also I will say, trust your team. I did the thing that I know best, which is I surround myself with people who do know what they're doing. And I trust them and I trust my communication skills and my intentions, and I'm able to articulate that. And so having this incredible team and support system on set and the best actors, it really helped create the vision that I was hoping to create. But to say I didn't make mistakes would be an understatement. There were so many mistakes. I learned so much, but I'm so much better for it. Can't wait. And, you know, I've written 2 scripts since, and now I'm working on getting those made. But it's also not a straight line. I'm still training clients. You know, I still have to, at this point in my life, make a living. I'm in this in between. Nothing is a clear path for me right now. Nothing has just been handed to me on a plate. Everything right now is, well, I'm doing this that I'm really good at, training clients, and I'm doing this, which the world doesn't believe me yet. Mm-hmm. But I promise you that I'll show up every day. I'll pave my way here. Mm-hmm. This is, I think, an extension of what I've always done, which is to use my voice for purposeful good.
Yeah.
And I think that when you know what your intention is, it doesn't really matter the avenue. I think in many ways for me, sometimes I feel, if I'm speaking really honestly, sometimes I feel like there's nothing left for me with talking about the body, that for 17 years I've done it. I have helped people and I've talked about it. And now I want my voice to extend beyond and to go into their hearts and their minds and to reach them through their homes, through their television, which I have been doing on YouTube and through the different platforms like Pop Sugar and all the companies that have hired me throughout the years. But I think I just want to do it in a different way.
Okay, we are going on a family trip. We got a family vacation to Mexico, leaving in a week, and the whole freaking crew is going. And I am working on packing everyone up. Yes, I am helping the kids pack. Even though they're teenagers and young adults, I am making sure that they have everything that they need. Everyone has nice outfits for dinner and just all the things. And because we have so many people in this family, and we're bringing my stepson's girlfriend and my stepdaughter's boyfriend, we have a couple rooms. One of the things that I'm making sure that we all have in our rooms is Element. So Element is my go-to electrolyte drink mix. It has everything you need and nothing you don't. That means lots of salt, no sugar, no artificial ingredients, coloring, etc. Just no BS. It is formulated to help anyone with their electrolyte needs, and it's perfectly suited if you are following a keto or a low carb or paleo diet. It is perfect for professional athletes, for everyday moms. It's really for everyone. I'm obsessed, and I have been for a couple of years now. They have been sponsoring the podcast for a year or so now. It is just so aligned. Lately, I have been loving it during hot yoga classes, when I need to rehydrate, when I'm traveling, and you know, after some cocktails. And when I'm away, I try to stay away from the sugary drinks. So I will get some soda and tequila and lime and fresh mint and throw some lime electrolyte salt in there. So lime element salt into my glass, and it is so freaking good. So 100 milligrams of sodium, 200 milligrams of potassium, 600 of magnesium. Staying hydrated is crucial and is a huge priority of mine. And proper hydration isn't just about drinking water. You gotta have adequate water and electrolytes. So I have a code for you. When you purchase Element from www.drinklmnt.com/kickassstepmom, you can get a free sample pack so you can try all the flavors and pick your faves. I love lime and watermelon. Those are my two go-tos. You get to choose what you love and what is best for you. So when you purchase Element from www.drinklmnt.com/kickassstepmom, you can get a free sample pack so you can try all the flavors. That's www.drinklmnt.com/kickassstepmom for a free sample pack with purchase. I have never been one of those get ready with me, here's my makeup routine girlies on Instagram, but I do get asked a lot of questions about the products that I use and my makeup routine. So here's the deal. A few years ago, I learned about HB Face from someone that I follow on Instagram. I decided to place an order. I just loved that the founder, Haley Bogart, her makeup routine seemed simple. It was an easy process. She had great tutorials on her Instagram, and I was like, okay, I'm going to try this. Plus, she's a badass female entrepreneur, and I love supporting that. So after using her products for a few days, I ended up throwing everything else in the garbage. It is so good and changed the way I feel about doing my makeup. So Haley Bogart is a makeup artist, and she has built a trusted brand by working with celebrities and influencers and countless others across the globe. She has locations in Toronto and Oakville and has huge plans to expand. And guys, her skincare and makeup line, well, it was created with formulas perfected for simple and effective everyday use. And each product was created based on a belief that beauty should be fun and effortless and stress-free, which I am all about. I love all of her products, but I will quickly run through my favorites. So her Skin Perfector is like a light foundation that just perfects your skin and evens out tones. It's just not too heavy. I love it. I love the concealer. I use the bronzer, the tint sticks for a little pink on my cheek. Her mascara is bomb, and her brow kit is next level. Also check out the Skin Butter and the Face Scrub. It is so good. So if you go to hbface.com/Jamie Scrimger and use the code HBJamie, you will get 20% off your order. That's www.hbface.com/Jamie Scrimger, JamieScrimgeour, and use the code HB20. You'll get 20% off your order. I know you're going to love this makeup. And when you get it and you try it and you love it, shoot me a DM on Instagram. I can't wait to chat. You know what really stuck out for me is when you were talking about the very beginning and how they had set that foundation, you know, your husband and Arsa's mom had set that foundation for that type of co-parenting relationship.
Yeah.
And I don't think people talk about this enough, what it's like for a stepmom, a new partner to come into that dynamic, because they've been very deliberate about how they're going to set up and how they're going to co-parent, how they're going to show up for her. And it can feel a little threatening.
Yeah, of course.
Maybe, or a little, where do I fit in here? Maybe for women to come in and the narrative isn't, oh, the ex. It's like, oh, she's like, we all are good, right? Like there's no like high conflict ex or evil ex-wife or like there's nothing like that. It's like, hey, this is how we operate. Come on in.
Right.
And that's what I think is really interesting about the stepmom space. I don't think people talk about that enough.
Yeah, that was actually very hard for me.
Yeah, like finding your place in this. Well, also maybe there's new boundaries a little bit about like what's okay and like what's comfortable for everyone. How do you figure that out? You know, like how do you fit in?
That is so poignant. And I'm, you know, with what you're saying, at the time I felt so alone. So to just to even hear you say that out loud means that it's a common experience. Mm-hmm. Like I have to put things into context too. I was coming into that. I had never lived with a guy before. Okay. I had had a boyfriend, but I had never lived with anybody. And I was 32. So I was kind of, to be honest, I hate saying prime because I actually feel like I'm in my prime now. And maybe when I'm 50, I'll feel like I'm in my prime then. But at 32, I was really feeling like the world is my oyster, you know? And I moved in and I wasn't prepared for all the feelings that I was going to have because I was pretty self-aware, I think, and I was pretty sure of myself. Like I said before, I would say one of my strengths is communication. I just also never considered myself a jealous person, but all those feelings came up. And oh, also I didn't consider myself a territorial person, right? But when I got into this, I really felt like I didn't know how to voice what I wanted because I felt that I was the outlier. I didn't know how to trust my feelings in it. I sometimes felt like my feelings were invalid. Even though they weren't invalidating my feelings, I put that responsibility on myself because they were fine with their situation. So it made me feel like the crazy one. You know, I have to admit, sometimes I felt like boundaries were crossed, but I didn't even know what those boundaries were or how to articulate that. Mm-hmm. I was a muddled mess at the beginning. I remember feeling so jealous and not even knowing how to articulate that. And also feeling guilty that I felt jealous. I was like, you know, self-flagellation. It was a lot of blame, shame on myself for having those feelings because they were fine. Iris was thriving. So if they were fine and they were making it work, but I wasn't feeling necessarily comfortable, what did that say about me? And then it made me question if this was right for me at the beginning, mm-hmm. right? So if anybody out there is feeling that, I can honestly say that all of those feelings are so accurate and so honest, and to not ignore them, but to also take responsibility for it. I think I can acknowledge that while it was really hard for me at the beginning, it was also, you know, you only have the lens through which you see things. It's your lens. And at the time, I don't think that I had the wherewithal to see everybody's lens. Mm-hmm. You know, I could only see that it was hard for me, that it was unfair for me, but I wasn't necessarily seeing that maybe it was also really hard for the mom, that it was also hard for the dad, and that Iris was too young at the time. But now that she's gotten older and she's able to articulate herself more, and she's able to say sometimes her inner complications with things, I really can see how you have to really work on constantly going, okay, I have these feelings, but also what are her feelings and his feelings and their feelings? And where do we kind of all meet? It's really at the end of the day, it's hard for everybody, mm-hmm. right? But when you put the kid first, it can really change your world. I think the switch for me truly was when I stopped judging myself. When I stopped judging myself is when I could stop judging her. Mm-hmm. Because we're just all just really trying to do the best we can. Life is just so freaking messy. Nothing is a straight line. No path is a straight line. And at the end of the day, I'm in a really good situation. I know it sounds annoying when I say it, but it's really, I am. And I can't deny it. Iris's mom is a really kind human who's truly doing the best she can. And the more kindness I've given her over the years, the closer we get. The more honesty, I know that doesn't hold true for a lot of people. Some stepmothers, if they were honest with the mom, maybe it wouldn't work in their favor. I am lucky in the situation that she's just a good human. Mm-hmm. She puts her daughter first. And so she wants what's best for her daughter. And she knows how much I'm in her daughter's life. And I can honestly say though, too, that time has served that. She trusts me now because we've had so many years now in each other's lives and so many experiences together that she now sees me as a teammate. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not kidding you. We're actually touring schools and she's asked me to join on the tours. Mm-hmm. And we've joked because we think that people think we're a lesbian couple at first.
That's so good.
They don't quite know like who I'm attached to. Am I attached to her? Am I attached to him? You know, but, but yeah, that's our truth. So that's where we are right now.
Well, yeah. And I think something that you said at the beginning too, about how the stepmom's a person outside of the stepmom, right? Like she's a woman with interests. And so many of us, and Darren and I were just, we did a live call in the membership last night, and we were talking about those early days for me and how I gave up everything.
They're so messy, right?
Oh, they're so messy. I gave up everything.
Yeah.
I gave up all the things that I wanted to do. And then Wolfric, I even created a platform about being a stepmom. So it's like literally for the longest time, everything that I do and have done was wrapped up in this new life and what does it mean to be a stepmom? Right. And we were talking about that. And I said, you know, maybe something that I don't know if I would go back and do it differently, but I have perspective on why I was doing it. I was like going all in, trying to prove yourself.
Yeah.
And there's so much self-sacrificing behavior. And so many stepmoms do that. And then they're lost because they're like, who am I? Where do I fit here? Who am I? And I do think in this dynamic, you have the dad or the partner or the bio mom and the kids, and everyone's thinking about their perspective and they've already settled things in. Like they have set up how they're doing things, right? Like their values and their family systems have kind of been created. And the stepmom's kind of expected to come in and just be in that.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, where it gets really muddy because it's like, okay, well, what do I feel comfortable with? What do I want for my life? But there is that expectation and it kind of goes with like you're coming in halfway through the story. So you can't expect everyone to change. But it's like, how do you find that common ground where, okay, maybe this doesn't work for stepmom anymore.
Right?
Maybe there needs to be some shifts. Maybe things do need to change. I think it's hard because we just feel like then you're the bad guy for asking for some sort of changes. But it's true. You have to prioritize yourself as well.
You nailed it on the head. I think everything is about how you approach something. You know, first of all, give yourself time to figure out what works for you and what doesn't. That took me time because, like I said, you're going to be questioning yourself a lot at the beginning going, is that me? Is that weird that I feel that way? That doesn't work for me? Is that bad? That I feel that way? Am I selfish that I feel that way? Right? So There's going to be a lot of that questioning. But I think for me personally, when I started communicating with my husband, I think what's really important is how you approach it. You say, I know this is what works for you guys. And I actually don't want to take anything away from that. I would never want to hurt the kid or the children. Right? But also part of this equation is you want me to be happy in this. So here's what I feel I need. Now, I may not get everything I want here because that's life. You don't get everything you want. And everything worth having is some sacrifice. But can we sort of meet somewhere in the middle? And for me, what I have found is my alone time is crucial, freaking crucial, where I don't have to be at everything. You know, and I don't have to go to every event. I'm at a lot of them, but there are times where I'm like, you know what? I need to do me right now. I need to go be with my girlfriends and I need to feel like Kit separate from the family unit. But I don't think that experience is any different than being a mom or a dad. You know, that's true for any parent, I think. But when you're a stepmom, you may not feel like you have the right to say it. And I think that I want to empower anyone out there listening to first be introspective and to make sure that you know why you're wanting it, why you want to carve out these boundaries. And is it truly best for you and for the family as a whole? And then figure out a good way to communicate it without pointing fingers or blame or shaming how things are being done. Because I don't know. I mean, there are definitely different ways to go about things. You can certainly scream. I'm not perfect. You can have fights, but ultimately, what's your goal? Is your goal to hurt your relationship with your partner, or is it to foster growth and evolution? So you just have to consider that.
For sure. And really checking in with yourself, like, why does this bother me? Like, what is this really about?
Yeah.
And you realize how often, you know, your triggers or things that bother you or, you know, the way you think things should be, like, where does that come from?
Yeah.
And taking that time, you know, like I often see stepmoms come into the membership and they're asking for advice on like different situations. And some of the stepmoms were replying like, oh, hell no, like that would never happen. Or, but like, let's bring back the layers here. Like what's best for the family? What is this really about? Why is this an issue for you? What does this trigger in you? Like, what are you scared of? Right? Like I look back at the very beginning, I was so scared.
Me too.
And like insecure.
Me too.
And all those things, you know, like where.
And I didn't trust it.
If someone would have told me that I was scared, I'd be like, no, I'm not scared. I'm just trying to run a family here. Like this isn't working. You know what I mean? Like you can't see that until you see it. And you're like, whoa, like I was just insecure and scared, trying to find my place. And I was responding with perfectionism, need for control, whatever it is, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I felt the same way. Scared as hell. Scared as hell that I had made this decision. I mean, that's, there's no other way to put it. I was just scared as hell. You know, you make this huge decision. It's harder than you thought, right? When you actually get in it, like really in it. And then you question yourself, but you're in it and you're committed and it's insta family, right? So you can't walk away from that. Mm-hmm. Well, in my case, I didn't want to.
Mm-hmm. You could walk away if you wanted.
You can. In theory, yes. Everyone can essentially walk away from the situation. But for me, I knew deep down that my partner was my partner. Mm-hmm. But I just didn't necessarily trust myself in it yet. I also was scared that I was going to always have those feelings. Mm-hmm. You know, you're feeling jealous. You're feeling this. Is this going to be forever?
Yeah. And it's not.
It's not at all. It goes away. But that feeling of forever feeling this is pretty daunting, you know, because that's torturous. And then the fact that you chose it, you did it to yourself, friend. So you chose to torture yourself is a pretty funny idea, you know?
Totally.
But like I said, that feeling definitely goes away and that eventually you can laugh about it. But that those feelings, I think, are so crucial at the beginning. You know, it's like when you first go to school, I'm witnessing it even with Iris. All these girls are so jealous of each other. And they're, you know, they're fighting and they're trying to, you know, one up each other. Everyone's trying to find their way. And then over time, she's going to grow into herself and those feelings will dissipate.
It is so hard watching your kids go through the schoolyard stuff. Reese came home last night and, you know, she said a boy decided he didn't like her anymore. Like all of those things. And it's just like, and I'm like, Reese, play it cool. Like you don't want anyone to know, like, just like, you know, I'm trying to give her like tips on how to survive in that. I'm like, oh my gosh. Right.
Totally.
Like, but you have to go through those phases in life. And it's just going back to something you said though, how it like, doesn't bother you anymore. Yesterday I was getting the mail. So I moved into the house Darren lived in with his first wife. I've been here longer. Like we've been together for 11 years now. Like this isn't new. And I got the mail and there was like a mail address to his ex. Mm. And it's so interesting now. I'm kind of like, oh, that was weird. But years ago, that would have just made me feel like I don't belong. Like this isn't my home. This isn't like, when in reality, how many people get letters to past owners?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like it's not really that big of a deal, but those little triggers, right? Yeah. Can just like spiral.
That actually happened to me too.
Yeah.
That happened to me too. So many times. I remember when I first moved in with my now husband, they had been divorced. And so he was in a new apartment, but I was moving my stuff in. And I remember finding they had, I think, shot glasses from their wedding and it had their initials and the date. I always say as a stepmom, expect the unexpected triggers. You know, you would think it's just there's a reality. I knew he had been married. Obviously, I have evidence of it every day. There's a little kid that tells me that that existed. I know the ex-wife. I know all of it exists. But then when I see the shot glasses, for whatever reason, it became a big trigger for me. And I was really suffering. And it seems so freaking silly. But it happened. And those are the realities of, you know, I have couples, I believe I said this in the last podcast, I know couples that they don't even talk about their exes, right? But in our situation, we are constantly faced with the ex who is not an ex. They are very much the present, you know? And so I think it's completely normal to be triggered by that because it feels like when you're so in love with your partner, in this ideal world, in this fantasy world, in this Disney-like-esque world, you want to believe that you're the only one that ever existed, that this person is totally yours. And you just want to be in your bubble of present and future. But when you're constantly faced with the past and that this person also had that, and not only did they have it, they also had the wedding. They also had the kid. They had all the things, you know? So those can be triggers. I always remind myself of this, though, that my husband wouldn't be the right partner for me had he not gone through that experience.
Oh my gosh, I say the same thing.
And also that I think it's a huge compliment to be chosen when, you know, his daughter was already in his life. It's his biggest priority in his life. And for him to say, you, Kit, you're the person that I want to raise my daughter with now and co-parent with his ex-wife because I feel that you're the right person for this, I think is probably, if you really step back, and so it's the biggest compliment on the planet to be chosen in that way and for me to choose it as well. So I hope people can remind themselves of that, that when they get triggered in that situation, just always remind yourself that you're being chosen now, for now, mm-hmm. because your partner has learned lessons, hopefully grown from their past, and that they choose you now to help be with their children. That is, I can't think of a greater compliment.
Mm-hmm. That is so good and so beautiful. Now you're like, got me all teary eyed. Well, thank you so much for coming on again.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I feel like we're going to have to do this again sometimes, maybe get some listener questions and we can kind of respond or something.
I would love that. I would love that so much. And I'm just so grateful that you were willing to speak with me at this point. And like I said, I've been rejected a lot with people not wanting to speak to me at this phase in my life with this transition, you know, and I'm just so grateful that you are open to it and that you're willing to hear my story. So thank you.
Oh my gosh, this movie comes out. I am going to be the biggest advocate because you know what, Darren and I always love to watch movies like this on a Sunday.
Yeah, for sure. Right?
It's kind of like on Apple or like, yeah. Like, this is just totally my vibe. But yeah, definitely. I'm going to be shouting off the rooftops when this all comes out because it is such a good story. I know it's going to be an amazing movie because the trailer is so good. And I'm proud of you, right?
Thank you.
I think there's so many women that I'm talking to now, you know, in our late 30s and our 40s and, you know, late 40s, they're just like, I feel so good. I feel so me.
Yeah.
I finally feel confident in who I am and how I want to show up in this world. And I've learned all of these lessons. And everyone's saying like, this is like the best years of your life. And I'm feeling it too. Like, I feel like I'm finally stepping into who I am and just getting the balls, right? To be like, no, I don't need to do what society thinks I should do or what, you know, I'm told is the next right step for me or not taking risks or whatever. Like, we're just like stepping into it. And I love it.
You're not getting the balls. You got the uterus.
I got the uterus.
Balls
yeah.
are sensitive.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That good, what's that meme that goes around? The lady balls.
There you go. There you go.
So good.
No, it's so true. It's so true. Well, I hope that for every woman that's listening, I hope that by listening to my story, that if they have something, a dream inside them that they're wishing to fulfill, that they hear this and it gives them maybe a little more confidence in trying it. Because honestly, to the world, I seem a little crazy with what I've done. And trust me, I've been told that, but there is something within me that just knows I'm doing something that is meant for me and I'm trusting it. And the world has not proven that to me yet, but that's not the point. The point is that you trust you and you just keep going.
Well, I disagree. I think the world has proven that the trailer, it's all great, right? Like you have a lot of proof, I think.
Thank you.
I feel like you're just getting started. So I'm excited to see what happens.
Thank you. Thank you for the time.
That's it for this one. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if this episode resonated with you, I'd be so grateful if you could share it with someone in your life who you think could benefit from it. And if you haven't already left a rating and a review on iTunes, it really is the best way to support the show. And if you're craving more real talk and coaching and community, be sure to check out my membership, the Kickass Stepmom community. Head to www.kickassstepmom.com to learn more.